acting in ways that you never thought you would act. It's because you've got a backslidden heart going on. Number seven, they give way to loose and carnal language. Number eight, they begin to play with little sins openly. I mean, if you start playing with little sins, you know what Scripture says? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those little things that we get involved in and start doing and start thinking and start acting on. And before you know it, they begin to swell. And it's become something huge in our hearts and our minds. And number nine, being hardened, they show themselves as they are. I got a question for you at the very beginning of this message today. Is your heart soft before God, or is it hardened before God? Where is it today? Ask yourself, where is my heart? You don't have to be deceived. I said, you don't have to be deceived. To keep our hearts from wandering, we must be intentional to practice what Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. He said, but you must continue in the things that you have heard and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. You can't just go for a little while. You just can't serve God for a little while. You've got to continue in what you have heard and been assured of. Yes, this is truth. This is gospel truth. I've got to keep on doing what is right. What is right before you, God? What is your will? What do you want for my life? That's what I want more than anything else. You don't have to be deceived. If you continue in the things which you have learned and know to be the truth, stay in God's word and stay in His presence, then we will be victorious over the deception of sin. And we can say what Paul said to young Timothy again in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is coming again, and if we were to come right now, would you be ready? Would your heart be soft and pliable and cleansed and holy and righteous before Him? Or would you have to say, well, I've got to get some things straightened out. I've got to ask somebody to forgive me. I've got to go do this. And I've got to know today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of the rebellion. It's time to get our hearts washed and cleansed and purified again and say, God, here it is. Do whatever you want to do in me. My life is in your hands, Lord. Proverbs 28 and 26 says this, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. My Lord, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Therefore, knowing that the human heart is prone to wander. How many of you know that our hearts are prone to wander? My heart's prone to wander. Your heart's prone to wander. There's nobody here that's immune from the propensity, if you will, the natural inclination to wander away from what we know to be the truth. You see, that's the deceitfulness of sin. That's the deceitfulness of our own hearts. You cannot rely on yourself. There's nothing good within you. But when Jesus Christ comes in and the Holy Spirit comes in, then we lean on His righteousness and we lean upon His holiness. And I don't trust in my own righteousness, which is as filthy rags, but I'm trusting in the covering and the garment of His righteousness that He puts on me. Hallelujah. I can't trust in Dale, but I can trust in Jesus. I can't trust in my own heart, but I can trust in Jesus. My own heart can deceive me, but Jesus will never deceive me. If I come to Him and I say, Lord, here I am. Work in me. Wash me. Cleanse me. He does it every single time. And He opens my eyes to see the truth. Here in Hebrews 3, I want to point out several things quickly that will help safeguard your heart. How many of you want to safeguard your heart? You want to guard it. I mean, Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. That means you should put more diligence into this right here in your mind, soul, body, and spirit than anything else in this life. That should be your number one passion in life, is to keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it springs the issues of life. It springs the issues of life. First of all, notice the warning to hear. Psalm 95. This is what the writer of Hebrews is quoting from. Psalm 95, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice. He's giving validity to the inspiration of the Old Testament scriptures by saying David was speaking by the Holy Spirit. And notice that it doesn't say the Holy Spirit said. It actually says the Holy Spirit says. That means He's still talking right now. He's still speaking to you and me right now. The Holy Spirit says right now. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today Jesus is speaking. Will you listen to Him? We sang about that in praise and worship time. Jesus said in Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Some of you, He's been knocking for a while. He's knocking on your heart's door. And if anyone opens the door, He said, I will come in and have fellowship with Him and He with me. The King James says He will come in and sup with Him and He with me. It's a holy communion, a fellowship. I'm telling you, it's time to get back in the presence of Jesus. A whole lot of problems in our lives would be taken care of if we would just get alone with God and spend some time in His presence and hide ourselves in the secret place of the tabernacle of the Most High. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. What are you going through today? I'm telling you, He is your refuge. He's your fortress. He's your God. He's the one that you got to put your trust in. It's in the presence of the Lord that things become clear. All these situations and burdens and circumstances that are trying to weigh you down, I'm telling you, come into the presence of Jesus. And then when you get there, you've got to surrender to Him. Here's my heart. There's a lot of people that want to feel the presence of God. They want to feel the presence and Spirit of God. But when they get there, they don't want to surrender to God. But I'm telling you something, you can feel God's presence and you can cry some crocodile tears, but you can go out of there not changed unless you surrender to God and say, here's my heart, change me. I'm here to do your will above everything else. Oh, I feel His presence. Secondly, notice the example to heed in verses 8 through 11. Heed meaning to pay careful attention to. To observe or mark. You know, God, through Moses, led the Israelites out of Egypt and had revealed His law and glory to them. He revealed His power to them through all of the plagues that were poured out on the Egyptians. How many of you know that was some more manifestation of power? The last one being the Red Sea departing. And all of the Israelites crossing over on dry ground. And as soon as the last Israelite gets up on the other side, the waters come down on the Egyptian. That is power of God. However, as soon as the Israelites soon rebelled against God and provoked His anger after they left Sinai, an 11-day journey could have gotten them into the promised land. The people of Israel wandered in the wilderness because they did not have faith enough to enter the promised land. They focused on the giants instead of focusing on the God of the giants. That's what some of you in your life are doing right now. You're focusing on all the problems instead of up on the God who can solve those problems, who can work them out. That's a word for somebody here today. Get your eyes off the circumstances and get your eyes upon Jesus. Can he? Yes, he can. And yes, he will. If you'll trust him and believe him, there is nothing too hard for God. You take your situation and you put it down before him. And is there anything too hard? If he can... My Lord, my God, I feel his presence. If he can make a 90-something-year-old woman pregnant, my God, he can help you in your situation. I'm telling you today, there is nothing too hard for our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I had somebody in this place that would have faith again to believe that God can do all things. There's nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, give him praise in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands one more time and give him praise. I just feel we need to take a praise and worship break. Speak, Holy Spirit. Speak, Holy Spirit, to your people today. Speak to our hearts. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you for birthing revival in our midst. Thank you for birthing revival, Lord, stirring us up by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for bringing us to a place of repentance, Lord, a place of turning away from sin and turning to you with our whole hearts. Oh, we don't want to be rebellious. Oh, God, we don't want to be deceived. We want to believe you for supernatural things. That 40 years in the wilderness became a 40-year-long funeral procession. Until some 600,000 to 1 million people had died off, except Joshua and Caleb. How many of you know that God's always got a remnant? He's got a remnant of people who will say, yes, Lord, I believe what your word says. I trust what your word says. I yield my heart to do it. I don't want to just hear it, but I want to do it. Give me grace to do it even more. I don't always get it right, but God, I'm asking for, Father, cleanse my heart. Search my heart, Lord. I'm moving quickly. This leads me to the third point. Notice the instruction to implement. Verses 12 through 15. Or it meaning to apply what they have learned. How many of you know that coming to hear a sermon every week does you know absolutely no good unless you have a desire to do it when you leave? Coming to Sunday school class and hearing a word does you no good unless you have a desire to apply it when you leave. Oh, that was such a wonderful message today, Pastor. Sometimes I feel like saying, okay, is it going to translate this week? Is it going to change the way you live this week? Is it going to change the way you think and the way you behave and the way you act? The way you act toward your spouse and your kids and your coworkers and... Because that's when we know that the Word has got in us, when it changes us. It changes our behavior. When the seed of the Word comes in, we allow it to germinate and grow and produce results that last, lasting change. And the reason he wants us to apply what we've learned is because he says, beware, brethren, beware, people of God, beware, religious people, beware, those of you that have been around Christianity all of your life and you've heard thousands and thousands of sermons, beware. Because sometimes we have this attitude, well, I've heard that before. I've been in church my whole life. I don't need to do anything else. What you need to be doing is drawing closer to God than you've ever been before. You need to come to that word like it's the first time you've heard it. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, every time I read the Bible through, I get something different out of it, because He's a God. He's a God of new beginnings. He's a God of a fresh anointing. He's a God who can speak to you right now in your situation. He said, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, of departing from the living God. There it is again. How in the world people can say there's no way you could ever depart from God? How many of you know that God will not make us serve Him? He would go against His own nature if He did that, because He created us with the freedom of choice, with the freedom of decision making. He wants the people who choose to love Him, who choose to honor Him, who choose to obey Him, who choose to believe His word, who choose to believe that all things are possible to them who choose to believe. He's talking to the believer. Absolutely none of us are immune from falling into deception. We must be aware of what's right here more now than ever before. Because I'm telling you, Satan and his evil spirits are working overtime, if you will, to try to deceive even the elect, if possible, to keep them out of the presence of God, to keep them out of the Word, and to keep them from walking in the truth. And that is why, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, we need each other more than we've ever needed each other before. We need accountability in the Word. We need accountability in the presence of God. We need each other to walk alongside of us and exhort us. Exhort, encourage, admonish. Keep the faith. You've come too far to turn back now. You've got too much behind. Oh, glory to God. There's been too many things that you faced and you overcame and you got through to throw in the towel now and say, I quit. No, you've invested too much. You put too much in it. It's time to set your face like a flint and say, I'm going after God like I've never gone after Him before. He is my goal. He is my refuge. He's my rock. I'm looking to Him. We must be aware. Why? Because of the examples before us. Angels fell from heaven. Adam and Eve fell. Moses fell. David fell. Solomon fell. Samson fell. And a host of others. I've told you many times before, these biblical characters that we read about did not live perfect lives. We often think, well, I just can't be like Paul, and I can't be like David. Well, let me remind you that David committed adultery, slept with somebody else's wife, had her husband killed on the battlefield, but yet God calls him a man after His own heart. Why? Because he was willing to repent. He was willing to confess. He was willing to get right with God. He was willing to say, yes, God, I agree with You. What I did was wrong. I'm sorry. It took Nathan, to the prophet, to confront him, but yes, he still had a heart. He wept before God. He fasted and prayed and said, God, please have mercy on me. And I'm here to tell you today, if you'll run to the mercy seat of God, He'll have mercy on you. He will not turn you away. That's the kind of God we serve. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Beware. I used to think that unbelief only referred to just not believing something, because He said, beware lest there be in any of you a heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But upon further study, I began to understand this. Strong's dictionary defines unbelief as faithlessness or unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness is translated as disobedience. So really what he was saying is that their unbelief in the wilderness had nothing to do whether we believed what God could do, because they had just seen God work in these miraculous plagues. Only God Almighty could do those things. But what unbelief had to do with was the unwillingness and the stubbornness of their hearts, because they had already determined what they wanted to do in their own heart, and they didn't care what God said because it was about what they wanted. Isn't that where a lot of people are today? Some people got the attitude, I don't care what God says, this is what I want. So in other words, you could believe that something can happen, but you choose not to accept it happening based on your own desires and wants. You don't want it to happen because you're too focused on yourself and you want to hang on to your stubbornness. You have willfully and deliberately chosen not to believe. That is an evil heart of unbelief. It's nothing less than willful neglect and disobedience. And that, my friend, listen, can cause you to turn away from the living God. The deceitfulness of sin leads to a hard heart. And a hard heart leads to willful disobedience against God. We must guard our hearts with all diligence, church. I ask you again, is your heart soft? Or is it hard? You know, I asked Sister Margaret this morning if I could use this illustration. Sister Margaret and James are doing a great job with our couples class. Appreciate their leadership. Because I'm telling you that marriages are under attack like never before. The body of Christ is under attack. Families are under attack. Kids are under attack. And I'm here to tell you today, if we don't stay under the covering of God, we've been using this illustration in the couples class. You've got to stay under the covering of the Word. You've got to stay under the covering of prayer. You've got to stay under the covering of accountability. You've got to stay under the covering of walking in the Spirit. You've got to stay under the covering of covenant before God. You've got to stay under the covering individually. You've got to stay under the covering in a marital relationship. Raise your hand if you're married. You're to stay under the covering. Come here just a minute, Laura. I just feel the Holy Spirit. We, together, your pastor and his wife, have to stay under the covering. I'm admonishing you. Will you hold this umbrella?
Sure.
I'm admonishing you to hold the umbrella. To stay under the covering. And wherever we go, wherever I go, wherever she goes, we're going to be together. If she hurts, I hurt. If she rejoices, I rejoice. If she's going through a difficult time, I'm going through a difficult time because my heart is heavy for her. You know what I'm talking about? In the body of Christ, when you are hurting, I hurt. When you know somebody else is hurting, you ought to hurt with them. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We need each other. We need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We've got to stay under the covering of the Spirit of God. We cannot go outside of the covering and go on our own and do our own thing. No, we've got to get back where we need to be. We've got to get back. We've got to stay together. We've got to fight the good fight together. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. I'm telling you, we've got to stay together. Come on, give Him praise in this house. Give Him praise. We got to stay under the covering. He said, exhort one another daily while it is called today. It's that imagery of a runner running the race and somebody coming alongside of them and saying, you've come too far to turn back now. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need somebody to help me here as I close this out. Matthew, you run, don't you? You used to anyway. I used to run too. We used to be runners. I want you just to jog a little bit. Okay, and don't work up too much of a sweat because I know you're in your nice... Just run around the church. All right? Go ahead, keep on going. Come on. We got to come alongside. Now, you got to let me get beside. Don't run too fast. We got to come alongside and say to our brothers and sisters in Christ, Matthew, I know it's been hard lately. You can go a bit faster now. I know it's been hard lately. I know you've been going through a hard time. I know you've been facing some things in your life and in your family and with your kids and on your job. But I want you to know that I'm right here with you, brother. I want you to know that I'm right here supporting you. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm not going to let you down. I'm right here with you. You hurt, I hurt. You hurt, I hurt. You rejoice, I'm going to rejoice with you. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise God with you. I'm right here beside you. I'm going to the finish line. I am not going to stop short of the finish line. It gets hard sometimes. I get out of breath sometimes. And I feel like I can't make it anymore. But you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You can make it, Brother Rice. You can make it, Brother Bill. You can make it, Brother. You can make it, brother. You can make it in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet and give God praise if you intend to go all the way to the end. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Come on, Pastor Tommy, play something for us. Whew. I'm out of breath. Matthew's running too fast. I did run a couple weeks ago. I got to get back on it. The Bible says in Psalm 139, listen, and I want everybody to come in just a moment, everybody that will in this house, because we're in this together. I said we're in this together. I don't pretend to be some super duper whopper spiritual person who always has it together. But I'll tell you one thing, I've got a heart for God. And I want to do God's will. And I want to live my life for Him. And I want my heart to be pure and clean before Almighty God. I want to grow closer and closer to Jesus because that's where my hope's at. And so I want to encourage you. Matter of fact, I want you just to come now. We're going to pray this prayer together. Everybody that will, get out of your seat. If you have a desire to have a clean, to live with a clean and pure heart before God, and you're willing to surrender it, if you're willing to surrender your heart, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, the Spirit of God is moving in this house. Come in as close as you can to the front to make room for those behind you, if you will, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're not able to get out of your seat physically, I understand. Just pray where you are. That's fine. We'll think no less of you. But if you're physically able, squeeze in and among your brothers and sisters in Christ that need your prayers. Here's my heart, Lord. Will you be willing to say that? Here it is. God, right here's my heart. I lay it bare. Here it is. It's on the screen, our prayer. I want you to pray it out loud with me. Don't pray it fast. Let's pray it. Search me, oh God. Just stop right there for a moment. Search me, oh God. Search me, oh God. Search me. Not my brother, not my sister, not my husband, not my wife, not my kids, not my coworker, not that person, not my enemies. Search me, oh God. Ready? And know my heart. He's probably revealing something that's there that may need cleansing. Talk to him about it. Talk to him about it. Try me. Try me and know my anxieties. Say that with me. Try me and know my anxieties. Some of you are saying, I don't know if I should pray that or not, Pastor, because I'm tried enough already. I don't know if I want God to try me. I'm here to exhort you and tell you that if you ask God to try you, He will bring the impurities to the top. And it may hurt for a season, but you're going to be a whole lot better off because you have given God your heart. You've been willing to dig deep. You've been willing to dig those things up, unearth and see if there is any wicked way in me. Say it with me. And see if there is any wicked way in me. If there is, Lord, if you reveal it, we confess it. And you said, Lord, if we confess it, you're faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Oh, for some of us, Lord, we need to confess the sin of deception, the deceitfulness of sin. We need to confess bitterness, confess unforgiveness, confess strife, confess grudges, confess lack of faith, confess lack of obedience. Oh, we confess it, God. We confess it. We confess it. We confess the lack of sharing the gospel. We confess not witnessing to the lost. We confess it, God. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. You said you would lead us in your way everlasting. Make it your personal prayer. Lead me, Lord, in your everlasting way. Say it with me. Lead me, Lord, in your everlasting way. Now you take some time just to pray on your own for a moment and rejoice in Him and worship Him. Spend time in His holy presence. Come here, Laura. One more time. Come up here. I'm determined to love this woman to my death. I'm committed to her for life. In my vows, I said, and I meant my vows. I said, I meant my vows. In sickness and in health, in the good times and the bad times, till death do us part. That's the kind of attitude you got to have. Let me say this to you, church. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. You got to be quick to forgive. There's been many times I've said to Laura, will you forgive me? She said, yeah, I forgive you, but I'm not over it yet. I forgive you, but I ain't over it yet. But one of the things that we've tried to practice our entire marriage, because I can't stand going to bed with some kind of grudge, some kind of ought. I've never been able to stand that. So you know what I do? I try to make it a practice. Because, you know, you lay there and think, well, which one of us is going to say I'm sorry first? You know what I'm talking about? You know, y'all looking at me like you don't know what you're talking about. Be the first one to say I'm sorry. I challenge you to be the first one to say it. Well, I don't feel like saying it. How many of you know you can't go off your feelings? I make a choice to forgive. I make a choice to love. I make a choice. We're going to get through this together. And when I do, when I make that conscious, deliberate, intentional choice to do what's right, hear me. Hear me under the Spirit of the Lord right now. The emotions will follow in the right time. You hear that? Don't you let, it's what I just preached about. Don't you let deceitfulness of sin creep into your heart. Not just in the marriage relationship, I'm talking about anything, any relationship, any situation. I'm just using that as an example today. Keep your heart pure. As we close out, I want you one more time to lean over to somebody like we did last week and just lay your hand on their shoulder and pray the prayer of faith for them. Intercede for them. Exhort them in the faith. Don't you stop serving the Lord. Don't you stop pursuing Jesus. Come on, pray for them. Pray for him. Hallelujah. Keep the faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You've come too far to turn back now. Oh, hallelujah. Here's my heart, Lord. I'm pursuing you, God. I'm pursuing you with my whole heart. I'm running after you, Lord. Yes, I've got my eyes on the finish line, Lord. I've got my eyes on that ultimate goal of heaven. Oh, yes, Lord, I surrender to you. Yes, Lord, my eyes are on you.
Lord,
my eyes are on you. Hallelujah. We cover one another in prayer. We cover one another in prayer. I pray a covering of the blood of Jesus over every individual, every home, every marriage, Lord, every situation, every child. I cover them with your blood, Lord Jesus. I pray against the enemy and every attack and every onslaught he would bring against us. I command Satan to flee. I command the forces of darkness to flee. I take authority over the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, agree with me, church. I take authority over every lie and evil spirit, doctrine of devil and deceiving spirit. In the name of Jesus, come under subjection to the name and the authority of Jesus and the word of the living God. Satan, you take your hands off of this church. You take your hands off of this people. This church belongs to Jesus, the one who purchased it with his own precious blood. We determine to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. Thank you for victory, Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah.
I am yours. I have life. I came through. I have life. I can breathe.
Hallelujah.
I am yours. I am free. 'Cause you are strong. You are sure.
Hallelujah.
You are alive.
Thank you, Holy
Spirit. You endure. You are good. Always true. You are alive. Breaking.
We got some people still praying, so please be honored. Please honor that and be reverent. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good, isn't He? I love and appreciate you. Thank you for being here, our first time guest. Thank you for being